help us to commence with hymn 261. It is the Lord enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. 261.
Thank you. read together from the Word of God, from two portions of Scripture. First, from the first book of Samuel, chapter 23, the first 15 verses, and then reading from Psalm 63. The first book of Samuel, chapter 23, the first 15 verses, then from Psalm 63. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah." David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, and fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down, as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness, in strongholds, and remained in a mountain, in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a ward. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us and help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, we come before thee and do thank thee that thou hast enabled us to gather together at this midweek evening service. And we do trust in thy name, and that we might each be true seekers of thy face, and to know this to be a sacred time and season to our souls, even a set time to favour Zion, to draw near to thy people, to meet all their needs as they may arise, and show thyself truly to be the friend of sinners. O Lord, it is our mercy that thou dost draw near to us. For Lord, thou knowest our need is of thee at this time. Without thee we can do nothing. Without thy spirit and power upon us, without thy word and truth in our hearts, and mixed with faith to receive it and to walk it out in a very real and practical way, then without these mercies, it will be an unprofitable time to be gathered here. And so, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt appear for each one of us, and thank thee, Lord, for bringing us each to the house of prayer. And we earnestly seek thy presence and thy help, and thy spirit to come upon us, to lead us into thy truth, and where thou art revealed in the gospel, that one thing needful to each of our souls, to do us good, that thou wilt bless us with a visitation of thy love and mercy and thy truth, Lord, that it might be blessed to our souls, a savour of life unto us. Oh, we do look to thee, Lord. We are poor and needy in and of ourselves, and often find ourselves truly spiritually impoverished. But, Lord, we do thank thee that thou dost come to the help and to the need of the poor and the needy of thy people. Thou dost lift the beggar up from the dust and the poor from the dunghill, set them amongst princes. Oh, Lord, this is our mercy. And, Lord, we do pray that our time shall be profitable, that thou wilt be revealed to us, that thou wilt show thyself in thy love and mercy to sinners. And, O Lord, what a mercy it is that thou dost welcome them, that they should sit around thy table, that it was unto the sinners, the publicans, the lost, the undone, that thou didst appear unto them, and their need was of thee. And we pray that it may be so this evening hour, and feed our poor souls with the bread of life in Christ Jesus, that our souls might live spiritually upon thyself. Grant each one of us a living morsel, Lord Jesus, we pray thee, that we might know a little building up and edifying of our souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be revealed to us. Oh, in thy love and mercy. Oh, that thou wouldest show thyself unto us, Lord, as that one indeed who hath done great things for thy people. And Lord, in particular, and we thank thee for all the blessings that flow forth and out and through thy cross at Calvary unto poor needy sinners. And Lord, the gospel, the good news, the blessings of salvation, the promises of a covenant God, all his attributes, and all the fullness of the covenant of grace that belong to thy people, bless to us through Jesus and his gospel. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near and grant to each one of us some token of thine especial love. O Lord, a little uplifting of our souls to thee, a little inward spiritual strength for our souls, an enlarging of our faith upon thyself and upon thy word, upon thy promises, and Lord, that all our hope and expectation may be found in thee. So Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with us, and pray, Lord, that, oh, that there may be indeed many seekers here this evening. We pray that all may be seekers, not only those, Lord, who are of the covenant of thy grace, saved and redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus, still seeking for a living portion, for a token of thy love, but also, Lord, those who seek and desire to know thee in thy salvation. Thou knowest how that we do pray, Lord, for the salvation of sinners. And Lord, we call upon thy name and pray that thou wilt work in the hearts of each and every one that are here gathered, showing them their need of Jesus. And Lord, opening up to them through thy Spirit the solemn truth of their sin, but drawn by the cords of thy love to one indeed who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And Lord, we call upon thy name that nothing is too hard for thee. There is no sinner that is too far gone and too far out of the way, that thou art unable, Lord, to reach their souls and to show them their need of a Saviour and a Redeemer. And, O Lord, we do pray that there may indeed be those truly seeking and to know that hope in thy precious blood, and that they press to thee, urging their case, and that thou wilt, Lord, show mercy to them, that mercy that flows through thy precious blood, that mercy in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they might know the blessedness of that free pardon for all their sins. O Lord, such the preciousness of thy blood, and we do pray, Lord, that the blessing and the application of it through thy Spirit may be a blessing to all those that gather. We commit these things to Thee, Lord. We know that there is an election through grace. But, O Lord, Thou art able to revive Thy work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make known, and that in wrath remember mercy. And so, Lord, we commit them to Thee. We do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt be with us each and every part and aspect of our lives. Help us to know the throne of Thy grace and to venture now all upon Thee, and to be with us each in our life and in our path. Help us to walk in that path that Thou hast ordained for us. And Lord, if it be, Lord, a rough and rugged road, if we find and experience many opposites and stumbling blocks, as Thy people will, as they sojourn here below, for there will be many that oppose them. And Lord, particularly world, flesh and devil. O Lord, we do pray, increase our faith and grant that sufficient grace to continue, and in Thy name, and that, Lord, we might know the blessing and the truth that where sin abounds, that Thy grace might much more abound. And we do pray, Lord, that as we continue also, and in Thy name, help us, Lord, that we might flee this world and the vanities of this life. And Lord, the solemn truth, Lord, of those things that are set forth and in this world, and which so used by Satan himself, and where the very root of sin and evil is manifest. O Lord, we do pray, give us grace, that we might be enabled to shun all the things of time and sense, the pleasures of this life, the vanities of this life, and to know the blessing and the truth, dear Lord, that Thou hast sanctified and separated Thy people unto Thyself, to be a holy and a peculiar people unto Thee, a people who were not a people but are now the people of God, a people who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy, and that are those lively stones where whom Thou hast redeemed and brought unto Thyself. And Lord, we pray that we might be helped to continue in Thy name, and to shun the things of time and sense, and those things, Lord, that Thy servant Paul so spake of, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before. O Lord, Thou hast shown to us all things here below are but as dung and dross. But oh, may we know that grace that was with Paul, that he could indeed win Christ. So, Lord, help us to know again and again that we have one treasure in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. May we know those continued times and seasons, thought and desire and meditation upon Thy name. Oh, do help us, Lord, that we might be enabled to contemplate the blessedness and the happiness and the prospect that we have before us, even, Lord, of eternal life. O Lord, we do look to Thee, that Thou wilt bless us and confirm again to our never-dying souls those things that are laid up for them that love Thee and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be those indeed that shall be helped to run the race that is set before us, and that we might indeed obtain the prize, even the crown, a crown of righteousness. We seek thy gracious help, Lord, that thou wilt be with us, Lord, then in every part and aspect of our lives. Be with us in our homes, Lord. Be with us in our families, Lord. Be with us, Lord, in our prayers and our petitions as we call upon thy name. And in particular, Lord, as we call upon thee in respect of those that are near and dear to us, and who as yet know thee not, and we pray that they might know thee with power. And Lord, we pray for these mercies, that power that rests in the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to heal from sin and all defilement. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt direct our footsteps in each and every untrodden step of the way. And Lord, go before us to lead us, to direct us through this barren wilderness here below, to go before, to protect, to defend. Lord, we cannot keep ourselves, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord. O Lord, thou knowest how that we call upon thy name, how that we feel and realize and experience many failings and shortcomings, those besetting sins in the way, and Lord, the solemn corruptions of a fallen nature, and where we are brought time and again to that place, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so it is, Lord. But Lord, we do pray that we may be brought, Lord Jesus, again and again to confess and repent, to flee to the fountain of thy precious blood. And so, Lord, helping us that we might continue and be with us in the way, to uphold us, Lord, to direct us in all our paths. And Lord, if there be any here this evening seeking to know, Lord, thy will and thy purpose in anything concerning them, O Lord, we do pray, help them that they might come before thee, the throne of grace, commit their all unto thee. For thou wilt hear the prayer of the humble and the contrite heart. Thou wilt take knowledge of them. Help them to wait upon thee, to persevere, and at the throne of grace, and wait thy bidding. So direct them in their path, Lord, here below. And we do pray, Lord, that we may each then be enabled to serve thee this evening hour, to delight our souls in thee and in thy word, and may the precious truths of thy gospel be blessed to our souls. And Lord, may we be enabled to thank thee that thou dost appear for thy people, that thou dost bless them, and thou hast promised never to leave nor to forsake them. Be with each unable to attend this evening hour. Do draw near to their needs, Lord, and be with them where they are. And we do pray, Lord, that they also, Lord, at this time, may receive at thy hand some token of thine especial love. Bless thy people here as they gather together week by week. Hear all the prayers and the petitions that are offered up to thee in this house. Be unto them prayer hearing and prayer answering. We do pray, give wisdom, grace to the deacons, and that they may be those that shall be enabled to give wisdom, instruction, direction and leadership. And we do pray, Lord, that truly there may be that dwelling together in the bonds of love, that praying for one another, that seeking each other's good. And Lord, that there may be a company of people together, brought together by the Lord, who shall rejoice in thy salvation. Be with each of thy sent servants and help them to stand forth upon the walls of Zion to proclaim thine everlasting gospel. Lord, be mouth, matter and wisdom unto them. Help them to preach the gospel to the poor, and that they might be edified and built up and strengthened inwardly and spiritually in their souls. Be with thy servant, Lord, and help him to speak in thy name the words of this life. O Lord, teach him by thy Spirit those things that thou wilt have him to say. Pray, by thy Spirit, take the word, prosper the word, and let it find a resting and an abiding place in the hearts and lives of thy people. We seek and ask these mercies in the name and in the person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In 262, thou fountain of bliss, thy smile I entreat. Overwhelmed with distress, I mourn at thy feet. The joy of salvation, when shall it be mine? The high consolation of friendship divine. 262.
Thank you.
offering, the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who would seek to draw your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 63, and reading together from verse 2 and 3. Psalm 63, reading together from verse 2 and 3. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You may see from the heading of this psalm that it was a psalm that David delivered whilst he was found in the wilderness of Judah. We read together at least one part or a portion of God's word where showed to us that David, he was in the wilderness of Judah. He was one, a fugitive, we may say, dwelling in caves and dens and strongholds. Saul pursued him, as it were, relentlessly, as we read together, day by day. And so David was brought to flee from him. But David didn't flee from him without the Lord was his helper. We read together where David came before the Lord in prayer, consulted with his God in respect of Saul, who had become a great enemy to him. And the Lord came to David, he heard him, came to David. And we read together where he delivered him on that one occasion that David was brought to flee from Keilah. David's Lord is our Lord today. We do have a God to go to, each and every one of us. It would be incumbent upon us to come to him. This is a part of the glory that is in the words of our text. To see thy power and thy glory, that the Lord will appear for his people. And if the Lord will do anything for a poor, needy sinner, truly, it would be glorifying to his name. Because David, time and again, was brought to praise the Lord. My lips shall praise thee, the words of our text. That is, to glorify his name. Saul was envious at David. In fact, he came into quite a rage against him and pursued him through the wilderness. But this was the cause of this psalm in the heart and soul of David. You see, though David was in the wilderness, he wasn't alone, was he, dear friends? He wasn't alone. We're in a wilderness here, dear friends. I hope each and every one of us may feel it to be so. There's nothing here below, dear friends, that can content the soul, of a poor needy sinner. There is no one here below to whom we can turn to and go to in the time of our trouble, the time of our need. Only the Lord. You see, though David was in a wilderness here, literally, and yet his soul was in lively exercise, wasn't it? He often drew near to his God. And it is true, isn't it? In the times of our troubles, the time of our afflictions, disappointments, times of adversity, they are the most profitable times. This is where the Lord shows to us, oftentimes, his gracious hand towards us. David wasn't on his own. His Lord was with him. And we have the truth and the blessing of the Lord that he will never leave nor forsake his people. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Found in a wilderness, early will I seek thee. Friends, in the times of our troubles and afflictions here below, may we come to this truth and this blessing in our souls. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That truly was literal. But there is another sense here in respect of what David would know and experience. Though in that literal sense, a wilderness, and where there may be no water as freely obtainable in a wilderness. And yet, dear friends, what about the circumstances and the need of his soul? Spiritual application of this word. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. His whole soul, his being, his strength, his all was here, centered in and upon his Lord. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Do we find that to be a blessing to us, dear friends? To come to a time and a season where the Lord is our all and everything, where there is none like him, and there's only he indeed can come, give a little refreshing and a little renewing in our souls. David in the wilderness was unable to experience the blessing of gathering in the Lord's house, in the sanctuary, as we do now. But we can see here where David had a thirsting and a desire for his Lord, for the tabernacle worship, and where God was there present in his power and glory, to see thy power and thy glory. I may just open up this truth a little shortly. When we come to the sanctuary of the Lord's house, but is this the desire of our souls this evening hour, to see thy power and thy glory. This, another word for this power is strength. And that is where God dwelt with and in the midst of his people in the tabernacle worship. It has a direct reference to the ark of the testament. That is where God dwelt between the cherubims. We may just find that truth in Psalm 132. That is where God dwelt in the midst of his people. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength, his power. What is this, dear friends? It's where the Lord showed mercy and goodness and came to all the needs of his people, all needs, providential but spiritual and inward needs. Power and the glory. And then in Psalm 80, in the beginning of that psalm, we have the truth in respect of the Ark of the Testament. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. But, dear friends, God was in the midst of his people. He did show his power and glory in the midst of them. We may just know this truth in respect of the Lord our God. The omnipotent God, he that reigneth. The God of his people, who reigneth with power and over all things. We may just see this in respect of Jesus. Just another word in respect of this. Just a word that came into our mind. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his mouth, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Thy glory, thy power and thy glory. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And we see the blessedness of that truth in the person of Jesus. All things were given, all power was given into his hand. And the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He rules and reigns, heaven and earth. He fulfills and brings to pass all his eternal purposes. All that his eternal mind has decreed and set forth will come to pass. And he may use men, women, to bring to pass his purposes, as he used Cyrus for the deliverance of the children of Israel, and heathen king, he will use men, nations, peoples to fulfill his purposes here below. But also this truth, it will hinder and frustrate anything that is contrary or goeth forth that is not his will and purpose. He will frustrate. And one truth to know and to realize in this is this, that he bringeth to pass all things in heaven and in earth for the sake of his dear people. His dear people. Everything that he has purposed today is for the sake of his dear people. We must never forget that. And he will bring all things to an end, for heaven and earth will pass away. What a mercy it is to be found in the eternal purposes of God, a people who shall be more than conquerors through him that loved us. To see thy power and thy glory. But oh dear friends, the ark of God, isn't Jesus our ark today? Oh, we shall have to look a little higher than David's experience here. Dear friends, it is a word for us today. To see thy power and thy glory. Just want to speak a few thoughts in respect of this power and this glory. They relate to David's greater son, particularly to the church today. And this power and this glory truly must be in what God purposed in covenant in respect of the salvation of his people in the person of his dearly beloved Son. All that Jesus came to do, to fulfill the will of his heavenly Father, he showed and declared forth this word, his power and his glory. And another truth that must be included in this word is this, to whom he showed his power and his glory. To whom he showed his glory. 1st I thought of that word and what the Lord Jesus spake in his prayer to his heavenly Father. I have glorified thee on the earth. It is in the person of Jesus, his dearly beloved Son, into this world. I have glorified thee on the earth. And this was the intended purpose of Jesus coming into the earth. We've just passed the Christmas season, and where we take knowledge, we do not know the exactness of the date of the birth of the dear Lord Jesus. We do believe that we bring to remembrance his incarnation and his birth each and every day. It is a mercy if it is so. But in the person of Jesus, glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill toward men. And friends, glory to God in the highest, in the blessed incarnation of his dearly beloved Son into this world. This is the glory of our God. His promises, all prophecy, all types and shadows fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. And then Jesus, in his life, continued to show himself to be the promised one, the Messiah, the sent one, in the preaching of the gospel and in miracles. And by and through all these, he glorified God. He glorified his heavenly Father. We will just see where that was the blessing to many, that the Lord Jesus came and showed his glory. But first, it was in that song of prayer and praise from Mary. Oh, she magnified the name of the Lord. She was blessed. She was the one chosen that she should bear the dear Lord Jesus Christ, one that was prophesied of. And then, not only was God glorified in respect of her song, but also then in respect of Simeon. He raised up the dear Lord Jesus, blessed God for his salvation. I have seen thy salvation. He glorified his God. So did Anna, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then also Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Each glorifying God at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know the blessing and the experience of these things in our own souls. And it is vital and it is important that it is so. I've often thought what a solemn thing it is to be born into this world, to pass through the scenes of this life, to come to the end of our days, and to be desolate and without this blessing, the glory of God the Father in the person of Jesus manifested in the soul of a poor sinner. It's a very solemn thought, dear friends, to pass through this life, come to the end of our days, and to never know Christ. May we each here know the blessing for ourselves that we do have a part and a portion in the words of our text, to know the power and the glory of our God in the person of Jesus and in our soul's experience. I thought then, I have glorified thee on the earth. Just wanted to speak just one or two thoughts in respect to where the Lord Jesus glorified his heavenly Father upon the earth. A first thought in this way. The Lord Jesus was informed in respect of Lazarus, and that he was sick, but Jesus delayed his coming to see him. Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus came to perform miracles. It was a testimony of his messiahship and the work that his heavenly Father gave him to do. And the blessedness and the outcome of that truth was this, that Jesus did come and he did raise Lazarus from the dead. But there is a certain truth that I would just like to make mention in respect of this. They came to the graveside. It was a cave. And Martha said unto the Lord, By this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And Jesus raised Lazarus up from the dead. And then the blessing and the truth that there were those indeed round about who saw the blessedness and the miracle that Lazarus was raised up from the dead. There were those that believed in and upon him. Here was demonstrated the power and the glory of Jesus in raising up one that was dead to life again. But just this truth. When Martha came unto Jesus, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here is the spiritual application of this miracle of Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And there is no doubt in these words here, is there? That he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In other words, we're all dead. As we are born into this world, we are all dead. And dear friends, it is only Jesus that can raise us up from death unto life. Top lady says that, I know it's not nice perhaps, but he said we're alive and yet we're stillborn. I know the unpleasantness of being stillborn. It has been an experience in my own family. But it is a truth in respect spiritually that though we are alive, we are stillborn until Jesus raises us up from death unto life. We lie and remain dead in trespasses and in sins. I thought of the publicans and the sinners, the harlots that came and together, and they sat together with Jesus around his table. Jesus had taught them, if you read it in Mark chapter 2, he had taught them and showed to them the solemn truth of their sin and iniquities. And remember that they're publicans, harlots and sinners, those that were far from God, those that were dead in trespasses and in sins, he spake with power and authority into their souls. He showed to them their great and deep need as sinners. And I do believe that by and through his Spirit smote, as it were, their consciences, laid guilt upon them, brought them into a need of Jesus. I'm not going to dictate, and I never do, how that the Lord will bring his people to himself. But I must speak of sin. Jesus spoke of sin. Repent for the remission of your sins. And they came where Jesus was. You see this truth. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. He knows how to draw the poor sinner to himself. Yes, it might be an afflictive path in respect of our sins and the burden of it upon our consciences. But it will never leave us to bear any more than what we are able. It will draw thy soul to him, and it will be by power, dear friends, by power and influence of his Spirit. And these that came to Jesus, these were the sick ones. They needed the physician, and Jesus drew near to them, and I believe this truth. He showed them his mercy because he hath power on earth to forgive sins. This blessed truth in respect of Jesus, as God hath power to forgive sins. These publicans and sinners that came to Jesus to see thy power and thy glory, this was the power of God, dear friends, in the person of Jesus, a revelation of him as that one who is the Saviour and Redeemer of sinners, was blessed to their souls. Power and glory. And we read in that same chapter 2 of Mark, that one with the palsy, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. Dear friends, Jesus hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And there is no case too hard for him. No, dear friends. He is able to pardon and forgive crimson sins. And this man with a palsy, he arose, took up his bed, he went on his way. Jesus saw their faith. You see, what a mercy it is to have that faith in Jesus, a believing faith in him, that he is able to save unto the uttermost. And he hath that power, as it were, to bless and to confirm the blessedness of his sufferings and death to thy soul. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, that believing faith in the name of Jesus, that he is able to pardon sins. He giveth them power, you see, faith. And it is faith in his precious blood, faith in his person, faith that he is able to cleanse and to heal, to restore, to bring back. That was the blessing that came to the returning prodigal. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found again. To the glory of God, dear friends, to see any repenting sinner the glory of God. I have glorified thee upon the earth. I did think of that one indeed also. That one that was a leper, but there was 10 of them. And the Lord Jesus cleansed them as they went forth to go to the priest. They were cleansed. One of them realized the blessing to his soul. One of them did ask and plead for mercy and found it in the person of Jesus. And he turned back. Only one out of the 10. Do we not see here, dear friends, electing love and mercy? Only one returned to give glory to God. That glory was in the person of Jesus. What he did for him. And it was that faith in that dear man. The faith that was in Jesus. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Gave glory to God. I have glorified thee on the earth to see thy power and thy glory. Oh, you see, dear friends, it is Jesus, by and through his preaching, by and through his miracles, working in and upon the soul of a poor sinner. Here is the glory of our God. In his electing love and mercy to a few of lost mankind, that they should find this mercy. His power and his glory in and upon them, to change them and to renew them, to bring them to himself. And then we have another truth in respect of this word. There were many things that came upon our minds in respect of this power and this glory. But dear friends, we would need a few sermons to speak of them. But we come to this truth. I have finished the work. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Not only did he begin and finish that work in each and every one of all the souls of those that he came to recover, to bring back to himself, the finished work of Christ in their souls. But I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now this is the blessing, dear friends, of the power and the glory of our God. It is in the cross of Jesus. Jesus cried upon the cross, it is finished. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It is finished. And he gave up the ghost. Dear friends, the salvation of the church were found in those words. All the types and the shadows concerning the dear Lord Jesus were all fulfilled. All that the prophets spake of him All fulfilled. The gospel was fulfilled. It is finished. But also at that very moment, the whole church of Christ was saved and redeemed. Everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to Christ to save and to redeem were blessed. In the fullness of time, they will come into the blessing and the experience of it. And dear friends, pray that this power and this glory may come into the soul of each one of us. It is so vital today, so needful today, to know this power and this glory of our God in the redemption of our souls. See that dear man upon Calvary's tree. If I may just quote a word which I took at the beginning of the month at the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. At Sedgley, I took these words. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Dear friends, can we see our sins, friends, borne out upon the blessedness of his person, the wounds and the bruises, the stripes? His visage was so marred more than any, friends, deformed man upon the cross, broken man. First see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, in agonies and blood. His holy and his righteous soul bowed down, dear friends. Why? Because he was to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The power and the glory of our God in the person of Jesus upon Calvary's tree, wherein, dear friends, the whole church were justified freely by his redemption. Blessed truth. He suffered, hung there upon the tree for our sins and iniquities. And I'll show you just before we come to another portion. Our time has gone so quickly, but to show the power and the glory of Christ, dear friends, see that man upon the Damascus Road. That roaring lion, dear friends, that enemy of the church, the enemy of Christ, in a moment of time, grace laid hold upon that man, changed him and renewed him, brought him to the feet of Jesus, such an evil and a wretched man that he was. This is grace. We were no better than Saul of Tarsus, dear friends. Let us not think any differently. Unless sin is put away, unless the blood of sprinkling upon our consciences is cleansed and healed, we're no better than that man. God cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. That man was broken. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? One moment a roaring lion, the devil was in him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Friends, can there be a greater display than the power and the glory of God in the person of Jesus in the soul of that man? So as I've seen thee in the sanctuary, I do believe that David often looked, desired. I believe that was the same in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that shall I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. I believe, friends, in that psalm he was still unable to come to the sanctuary of the Lord. But dear friends, the sanctuary of the Lord, that is where the Lord's presence was. That is where they were blessed by the Lord. But isn't it so today, dear friends? I shall have to just speak briefly now because our time has gone, but I thought the sanctuary of the Lord, you see, this is where the Lord loves to be, loves to dwell. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, have we seen, friends, his power and his glory in the sanctuary? Has the Lord met our case and need in the gospel? Has he come to us, dear friends? Has he blessed us, given us a token of his love? It's his power and his glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, it is a beholding of the Lord by our faith, dear friends. Our faith in Jesus. And then he has promised to be where the twos and the threes are. He will not fail, friends, in his promise. Those that come to seek him, dear friend, the Lord will be present. He will come where his people are. Where the twos and the threes gather together in my name, there am I in the midst, and that to bless. And friends, what a mercy it is to be found in the sanctuary of the Lord this evening. You see, dear friend, this is where the Lord speaks to us. This is where his doctrine drops as the rain and his speech distills as the dew upon our souls to replenish us, dear friends, to renew us, to bring us near to himself, to bless us with tokens of his special love to us. And we need them as we continue in our pilgrimage journey, that the Lord would bless us, those high heaps and waymarks in the way, that we are in the straight and narrow way that leadeth unto life. He does visit. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Friends, have we seen the dear Lord Jesus in the sanctuary? By our faith, dear friends. Has he appeared for us? Has he shown to us our need of him? Has he begun a good work, dear friends? Is that what has brought us here this evening hour? You see, that this word is fulfilled in respect of us, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Did he put a desire in thy soul to come here this evening? For this truth here, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Dear friends, what a mercy it is. Far more precious, friends, here to be found in the sanctuary of the Lord's house. It cannot be compared, dear friends, to what there is outside of these walls. To be one with Jesus here, to behold him in his love and mercy, to behold him in all his promises to us. That is another part of our glory, isn't it? Jesus said to his heavenly Father, has he spoken this into our souls in the sanctuary of his house? Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. You see, behold my glory. And friends, it is true, isn't it? The church shall behold his glory. They shall come to that glory that awaiteth for them. They will see him as he is. They will behold him. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. She'll just have to be very brief. But we have lives to live here, dear friends, below. Lives naturally. This loving kindness is the grace of our Lord. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Dear friends, there may be many things here below which are important and necessary for us to be concerned with and about in our lives, natural things, lawful things to do, natural affections, a love that we have to many, those in our families, those that are near and dear to us. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, friends, we might have all these. But friends, if all these things are true of us, and we're without the loving kindness of the Lord, how empty everything is. We may have a love, you see, friends, our children, our children's children, our friends, our neighbours, yes, their natural affections and so forth. May have a love to many things. But unless it's with the love of Christ in our souls, it's all empty, isn't it? It's worthless. And the love for many things in this life as well, dear friends. Let us consider, friends, the many things in this life that are an affront unto Jesus. Let us be very careful, dear friends, what we become attached to. If we're without this loving kindness here of our God, everything else, friends, is nothing. Now, if we have the love of God in our souls, then everything is much different, dear friends. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Paul was willing to lay down his life for the Lord. Very quickly in Acts chapter, I just forget which one chapter it is now, but in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul was truly that one that, if I can just find it, Paul was going to Jerusalem. He knew what was before him. And they tried to influence him not to go. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. He didn't account his life, friends, to be so precious to himself. Why was that, dear friends? Because he was living a life of faith upon the dear Lord Jesus. And that was the most precious thing to him. His loving kindness was in that new life that the Lord had given to him. And friends, this is the blessing that we have in our souls, that new life of Christ. Crucified to this world. Crucified to the flesh, living upon Christ. May we know the loving kindness of our God, for it is better than life. Because of this, dear friends, the spiritual life that is in it, and then the blessing from that spiritual life, eternal life. You see, that is the blessing. And then my lips shall praise thee. May we be helped to praise and bless the Lord. And may we pray for this truth. I just cannot forget this, dear friends, because it is an important truth for each one of us. Just bear with me. And as we're in the sanctuary, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. dear friends, our prayers and our petitions unto the Lord, they're glorifying to God the Father through his Son, the power and the glory. And then, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. His merits, his person, his sacrifices offered, I will do it. It is glorifying to God. Friend, go to him with all thy deep needs. It is glorifying to God in the person of Jesus. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 251. When Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I am completely blessed. 251.
Thank you.
bless those things that have been attended to in thy name. Pardon all that has been amiss and sinful with us. Show thy glory unto each one of us, and give us a hope of that glory which is to come. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.